So good. Well, we've now got a very special guest here this morning who's going to come and enrich our lives with a powerful word of God. I just know it. So with that said, we have the wonderful Pastor Emma in the building this morning. She's bringing a heartfelt, well-studied word of God. I pray that you'll just open your hearts to what she has to say. Just let the words just soak into your heart and just take it in. And let's be encouraging and let's welcome Pastor Emma as she comes to bring the word.
Good morning, church. Good morning, church. It's great to be here. It's really great to be here. I've been praying over this message for quite a while now, and I've called this message Lead Your Life. Lead Your Life. And so I want to ask you this morning, who is leading your life? Are you leading your life? Are your parents leading your life? Is it work, your family? Are distractions leading your life? Or other people's demands on your time? I really want every person here this morning to lead your life that reflects a disciplined dependence on the Lord. To lead your life of close communion with God, of daily connecting with God through the Word, through prayer, through being full of the Holy Spirit. Church, can we pray, please? Father God, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for your word that is truth and life. Father God, I thank you that as your word is spoken this morning, that it will seep into our hearts and minds today, Father God, that we would take hold of it. We would keep it in our hearts. We would write it on our hearts, Father God, that we may serve you and obey you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So before I knew God, I knew nothing. I had no purpose in life, was just living a very ordinary life, not really knowing what to do or why we have this life in the first place. And so what I did do is that I was just consumed by music. I had a passion for music, and so, well, I'll just live for that. You know, I enjoy that, so I'll just live for that. And so when I was at uni, I was doing music all the time. It consumed me. It was an idol in my life. I would practice up to 8 hours a day on the flute, in groups, ensembles, all sorts of things. But I knew there was something more. I was seeking the Lord for something more. I just didn't know him yet. And it was through a friend at uni who I was able to ask questions and have conversations about what is our purpose in this life, and how she introduced me to the Son of God, to Jesus Christ, and how when she did that, everything made sense. Everything now made sense. I got it. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I knew that this was my purpose, that this is why we are here. And so you can imagine living a life being lost and then consumed with this idol of music and just doing this all the time. How could I lead my life now in worshiping and praying and reading the Word and knowing what the Word says? Do you know what? When we've been impacted by Jesus in our hearts, we will do whatever it takes to make time to be in his word, to pray and to worship him. And so I would get up early so that I could read the word, so that I could pray. When I was traveling on the bus and on the train, because, you know, students don't have money to buy cars back then, or I didn't, I would read my Bible. And we didn't have these back then, so I actually had a Bible on the bus or the train, and I'd like kind of secretly, you know, try and read scripture. But I made time, and I made time. And you know, when you are young and single, And you think you don't have a lot of time? You have a lot of time. Let me tell you right now, speaking now with, you know, being married and four kids and working and things like that, you have such an opportunity to get into the Word, to pray, to worship, to just really know the Lord. And I want you to know today, that you are to lead your life. God wants you to lead your life. And so we're going to look at a scripture in Luke. You know that our vision for this year comes from Luke 4, our message, a vision of freedom. And so we're preaching in the same book of Luke. And so I want to show you how Jesus led his life through being tempted by Satan, and how you have the same power of Jesus in you to lead your life just as he did. So we go to Luke 4 verses 1 to 15, and I just want to set the scene here. So Jesus has just been baptized by water by John the Baptist, and after that he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And who thinks after that he's going to live a glorious life and just, you know, go into ministry? No, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days and 40 nights, where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, where he did not eat. He was super, super hungry. There's a message in the order of sequence of how the word is written. So let's go to Luke 4, verses 1 to 15. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, we just sang a worship song of the Holy Spirit's power. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness by himself. No one to help him, by himself, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy 8, verse 3 here. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain. So first he's been taken into the wilderness. Now the devil takes him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Church, can you say this? It is written. It is written. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, sat him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here." Listen to the words that Satan now uses. "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, we see here of three temptations here, but there were so many more. And so when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, full of the power of the Spirit, to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all, and he spent those next 3 years doing his ministry, teaching, choosing the disciples, healing, casting out demons, and his calling. He fulfilled his calling, which we know was the cross, which we are going to celebrate next week. so I want, let's just unpack this a little bit as we really go into these temptations and how Jesus led his life. You see, Jesus has given you the same power that he has, that he had when he was in the wilderness. You have that same power to resist Satan. You have the same power to lead your life, to know what is written. And so we need to know what is written. We need to know ourselves. We need to know the Lord. We need to know the enemy. So Luke 4 verses 2 to 4, being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterward when they had ended he was hungry. Well, that's quite obvious. I'm hungry after one day, so 40 days. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You see, we see in this, the first temptation, that Satan is trying to get Jesus to not trust in his Father. Jesus has emptied himself of all the earthly, fleshly things, no food, nothing. He has nothing. And he is God. He could turn anything into food. He could do it. He can do it. But this is the trick of Satan. He wants Jesus to not trust in his Father. And so Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And he's quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. And he knows that he can trust in his Father and that his angels came and sustained him, and that we too are to trust in our Lord in providing for everything that we need. That he sustains us, that he is our provision. Jesus is all that we need. And how Christ, in emptying himself, in fasting for 40 days, actually strengthened his spirit. It strengthened his ability to trust in his Father God. And this is the same for us. Jesus fully depended on God for sustenance, power, and energy. He depended on his Father God. And Satan will want to try and always take us away from worshipping God first. So that's temptation number one. So when we are leading our life, we are leading our lives that are fully focused, fully dependent on our Father God. We can resist the devil. We can trust in God for everything. Luke 4 verses 5 to 8. Here comes the second one. So first we're in the wilderness, now on the top of a mountain. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy 6:13. We have the power, the same as Jesus, to rebuke the devil, to say, get behind me, Satan, because I will worship God, and him only will I serve. And even when you promise me all the riches and all the power and everything, you know, that this world can give, I will worship the Lord my God. Can you see and detect how Satan might be bringing temptation to you, and how we can see through his schemes and resist and lead our life obeying the Lord? The third one, Luke 4, 9 to 12. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, For it is written, He shall give you his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, It has been said, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. So here, even Satan quotes scripture back to Jesus. He quotes Psalm 91. And Jesus gives it right back to him, Deuteronomy 6:16. It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Isn't it interesting how the devil brings Jesus to Jerusalem? This is his hometown. This is his town where he ended up being crucified. And it's almost, there's many different ways that you can see this, but some ways of looking at this is that, you know, the devil is tempting Jesus to go, well, you know what? You know your calling. You know that you're going to be crucified. So why don't you just kill yourself now? No, we do this in God's timing. We do this according to his will. You can imagine that the emotions that Jesus would have felt. We cannot forget that whilst Jesus is God, he was fully man. And there would have been endless temptations that he faced and endured and resisted in those 40 days. And he faced and endured every temptation that you and I can face in our lifetime and know that we can resist them as well. But Jesus in Jerusalem, Jesus in a place where he already knew what was going to happen. But he said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You shall not doubt God. And we too need to not doubt him. We need to trust in him. We need to know what is written. We need to know the word of God. And in the third one, Satan is really attacking his identity. You know, if you're the Son of God, just throw yourself down off here. It's the same with us. I have noticed that's probably one of the ways that the devil really tries to tempt me. He will attack my identity. So you can't do this. Who do you think you are? I'm a child of God. I've been called by name. I've been chosen. And so any attempts at your identity of who you are, we can immediately say, you know what? Devil, get behind me. Satan, get behind me. Lord, I'm going to worship you all the days of my life. I'm going to trust in you all the days of my life. I know what is written. I know what is written in your word. And I'm going to use it as a weapon against the temptations. So leading your life. Can you hear? I really want you to hear this message today, that you, with your free will, are to lead your life like Jesus led his life, in a disciplined dependence. I know it's not a really nice word, that word discipline. All it means is just training. It's just habit. It's just daily, you know, like you brush your teeth and you eat your breakfast and you go to work. It's just daily adding in time in the word, time in prayer, time to worship God. And there's always time. God's given us time. Know the word of God. Satan is a daredevil. He's cunning. He will use scripture. He will twist things and manipulate the word of God. So know his word. Know what is written. When I have approached really significant decisions, especially work choices, I have spent time fasting and praying and seeking the Lord. And when I was a really new Christian in those early years and wondering, you know, at I guess 17, 18, thinking about career, thinking about direction and future of life, really seeking the Lord. And Matthew 6:33 was a scripture, a key scripture that I just prayed over and over again. Seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first his kingdom and righteousness. And so that scripture, as I sought his kingdom and his righteousness, the Lord would put me in positions and lead me and show me and speak to me about what the direction was that I needed to take. And so that led me to not do music, to actually lay that idol down. I stopped playing completely and then started the journey of you know, studying and counselling, and have done that for the last 10 years. And then probably, let me think, I think it was 2 years ago when we went to the C3 National Conference. I think I would walk for about 10Ks for a couple of days, just walking and praying, seeking the Lord. I knew the Lord was stirring in me something new. He was stirring in me something new, and so I was praying and seeking. And it's interesting that the scripture that we have this year for the freedom vision is the same passage of scripture that the Lord spoke to me about the next calling, the next step of preaching the gospel and healing the brokenhearted. And so that scripture sat in my heart, and as I prayed over it and I got, you know, just allowed the Lord to confirm through other people, it was very clear that the Lord was leading me into ministry, and this was the next thing. This was the next calling. But you know what? The devil doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want you to do his will. And let me tell you, the attacks that I got, the temptation that he would throw at me, especially with the identity, he messes with your mind sometimes. But when you can detect it, and now I know every time I'm going to speak, I just expect his attempts, and I just don't take it anymore. I'm like, really? Come on. Getting stronger in the spirit, so you're just got to try and, I don't know, bring it on, whatever. Jesus is my Lord, you know. Jesus is our Lord. He is our Lord. Do you remember the time when you first knew Christ, when you first knew him and you just, I don't know, for me it was like an incredible joy. It was such a beautiful thing, you know. He found me. He found me. He's been just, he just wants to love you, and he wants you to know him. And so I remember so vividly the times of finding Christ and the joy that I had in knowing him and my salvation, the joy of my salvation. And who, I don't know, who's here ever fallen in love? You know, when Richard and I first met, and you fall in love and you can't get enough of each other and you just want to be with them all the time. And you know, I was thinking of how Richard, on our first date, he made from scratch a carbonara meal. And, you know, I ate it because, oh, he made it with love and he made it from scratch. And later on, after many years, I actually said to Richard, I really don't like carbonara. It's your favourite meal, that's great. But, you know, when you're in love, you do things that you wouldn't ordinarily do, right? And when you know them a little bit, you know, in the honeymoon phase, and it's so lovely and it's great, and then you start to really get to know them. It's like the word of God, initially the joy of the salvation. And then when you start to really get to know each other, and being married, and Richard's help out, you know, hang out the washing, and I'm like, oh, that's so lovely. Until you go out and you go, oh, look at that. Pegs are not an optional accessory, you know. They're kind of an essential item when you're hanging out the washing. And when you hang it out, whilst it is efficient to bunch them all together, they don't dry properly. But you know, when you really get to know someone, you get into the nitty-gritty of who they are. And it's the same with the Word of God. When you really delve into this Word, when you really get to know the Word of God, you see that yes, Jesus is my Saviour, but we also see that Jesus is countercultural. We see that he is a God of incredible miracles. We just find out so much richness. We find life, we find truth in his Word. And so we want to get in deep into his Word and know what is written. Know what is written. You know, nowadays, in those early years, being single, it's so easy, and it was such a joy, and it was a real good discipline that I was taught to memorize scripture. Because the Holy Spirit will prompt and just remind you of the word when you don't have the word with you, when you memorize scripture. And so nowadays, with life so full, we have a full life, we have an abundant life. It's how can I still be at the feet of Jesus? How can I still really seek every, just you know, sink all of myself into the word even more? And you know, after 24 years, I just have such a passion for his word even more, because I know there's so much richness, and it's so deep, and it's so life-giving. And so even though life is so full, with working full-time, with four children, with being a taxi service most days, with trying to get up early in the morning and sneaking into, you know, a room by myself, and my son always finding me, like, oh, I'm going to have to think of something else, I will always find a way. And so now I'll just get up earlier and I'll stay in my room and I'll read the word. Before I get out of bed, I will not get out of bed until I have read scripture and prayed. Even if it's just 5 minutes, if I sleep in, I will not get out of bed until I've read the word of God. In the times when I'm in the car, I have at least half an hour on the way to work, and so I will pray, and I'm praying in the Spirit, and I'm praying the word of God, or I'm listening to audio, because the kids really do want me, you know, they do want their mum. Then I will take myself out and I will go for walks and I will pray on my walks, or I will listen to the word. So we always have the opportunity to know what is written, to be in the word, to lead our life. The Lord wants you to lead your life. And you have been given a free will. I really want people to understand that you have a free will. And so the power of Christ and the free will that you have the freedom to choose the Lord every single time. Sometimes the Satan gets too much credit for our sin. Well, he tempts us, but he doesn't sin for us. It's us that choose to do that. So even when we're facing temptation, or even when we're battling with bad habits, and I want to tell you today, there's no such thing as addictions. There are bad habits, that we have a free will, a will to choose the Lord, a will to choose what is right in the Lord's sight every single time. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. You have a free will. You have the power of Christ in you to freely choose him every single time, to resist the devil, to know what is written, to combat him with the word of God. Amen. Amen. So, Matthew 5, 6, the Passion Translation. How enriched you are when you crave righteousness, for you will be surrounded with fruitfulness. How rich you are when you crave righteousness, when you crave the God, the Lord. And the Message Version says, you're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God, his food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed. You're blessed. Sometimes we have a misunderstanding of what blessing is. You are blessed when you have a passion and a hunger for the word of God. His food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. The word is completely satisfying, fulfilling, enriching. Changes your life. His word is life-giving. His word will breathe life into you. His word has, you know, the Lord has an answer for every question you have. His word has an answer for every question you have. And so as you're leading your life, as you know what is written, I want to encourage you today to lead your life worthy of your calling. Lead your life worthy of your calling. Ephesians 4:1 says, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." You have each been called by God to fulfill His will. Just as Jesus was leading a life of obedience, relationship, and discipline in learning and knowing the Word as he was growing up, he had to learn the Word of God just like we do as well. For him to fulfill his mission, so too are each of you called by God to fulfill your calling, to know his word, to lead a life of relationship and discipline, to lead a life worthy of your calling. How will you know his calling if you don't know him or if you don't know his word? It was through a friend who knew to share the love of Christ with me. It was through the Holy Spirit just stirring in me a longing, a yearning, a knowing that I needed him. And the same passion that Christ had for me. God, I just had a little bit of it that I wanted to know him more. And as I sought him, he showed me each step. He would show me each calling to walk into. The same is for you, whatever circumstance or stage of life or position that you're in at the moment, God has called you. He has called you by name. He has called you to enjoy him, but he has called you to fulfill his mission that he has for you. And so we need to know his word. We need to know what is written. We need to lead a life worthy of that calling. Lead a life worthy of that calling. And so I have a few questions for you. I want you to think about these. Think about these. These are great questions to help you really continue your life, leading your life, following Jesus. Psalm 139, verses 23, 24 talks about praying to the Lord, "Lord, if there is any offensive way in me, if there's anything in me that is grieving you, God, if there's any mistakes that I need to be shown, that Lord, I need to confess to you and receive forgiveness for you, start there. Start there. Lord, show me, forgive me. Thank you that it's Christ who strengthens me. Thank you that authority through Christ has been given, that I can detect Satan's temptations, that I can resist them and lead my life trusting in you, Lord." Second question, "Lord, when is the best time, day or night, or throughout the day, to be with you? Show me." We have a creative God. We have a God. He can give you these God ideas and problem solve different things that you can be with him. Third question, "Lord, what do I need to remove from my life so that I can depend on you more? What distraction needs to go away? What do I need to take out of my life so that I can trust you more, so that I can depend on you more?" Maybe it's a time of fasting. Maybe it's just fasting for one meal to really press into the Word of God. "Lord, what is my calling? Lord, I just stand before you and just say to you, Lord, I want to trust you. I want to depend on you. God, I want to hear from you. What are you calling me to do right now or for the future? Lord, that I would hear your voice as I know your word." Can I get everyone just to stand for me, please? Thank you. And I just want to invite people just to have a disposition of openness towards the Lord. You can raise your hands if you feel led to. Today, choose today to lead your life, to know what is written, and to lead your life worthy of the calling that God has for you. Today, choose the Lord. Today, choose Him, that you would walk deeper, you would know Him deeper, you would know His voice in a new way, that you would be memorizing the Word of God, that you would be writing His Word on your heart, but that you would know the calling that He has for you, that you would obey in that. If the Lord is really speaking to you today about this, about leading your life, I'm not going to ask anyone to come up to the front. I just want everyone with their eyes closed just to, as a commitment and as a response to what the Lord is doing in your heart right now, in just challenging you and encouraging you and spurring you on to lead your life and lead your life worthy of your calling. If that's what the Lord is prompting in you today, I just want you to just raise your hand to Him as a response to what He is doing in your heart, that you're saying, "Yes, God, I thank you for the free will that I have. I thank you that I'm going to lead my life. I'm going to know your word. I'm going to know what is written. I'm going to lead my life worthy of the calling that you have for me." Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for every person in your house today. Father God, I give you thanks and praise for every person in your house, in the house today. God, that is here because they know Jesus. They know the Son of God. Father, I pray, Lord, as we encourage each other corporately, Father God, that we would all be leading our life in absolute dependence and trust in you, Father God. Lord, we're going to lead our life trusting in you, knowing that you will provide everything that we need. Father God, we're going to seek you. We're going to know what is written in your word as we remember and read and meditate. And Lord, that you would speak to us about our calling. Father God, with our hearts open towards you, that we would lead our life worthy of the calling that you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Bless your people, God. Bless your people. Amen. Amen. So let's celebrate, hey? Let's praise the Lord. I think the worship team are going to